Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, hello everyone and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio SmackDown Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing this week's SmackDown Live at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486 if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, you can always hit us up in the chat room. We'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Sometimes this week's SmackDown felt like opposite day show. Everything you thought was going to happen was the exact opposite of what happened. All the outcomes were the exact opposite of what you felt was going to happen. And it was a rather unusual show. But before we get to that, we do have some news we have to take care of. Thing being, apparently Charlotte Flair suffered an injury and maybe more than one injury. Charlotte Flair, according to some reports, lost at least two teeth and maybe more teeth in a match against Carmella in the UK. You can actually see on YouTube, someone posted a short video of Charlotte still in good humor telling a fan, "I can't really pose for a picture. I just lost my teeth," but she put her hand over her mouth and still posed for the picture. We don't know about how many teeth. And then there was some word that she has to undergo surgery for a ruptured implant and that she's going to be out a while and Carmella's going to take her place on some of the spots. All of this coming off a report that Charlotte Flair is being seen by some of the people in the back, some of the WWE officials as not really cranking on all cylinders. Now, Vince McMahon is still, you know, that's Ric Flair's daughter, and that's enough. To be honest with you, that's enough for Vince McMahon and many in the WWE. But some are saying, look, her promos are very wooden and stiff. Her matches have a lot of blown spots lately. She's not really emoting any kind of response from the fans. There's some heat on her. She's going to take a little bit of time off, and we'll see what happens. Obviously, I don't know how long. I think she's just going to be gone, you know, maybe a week or two. We may not even really notice it. It's mostly going to be the house shows, I guess. Maybe they'll keep her off one SmackDown or something. It's not going to be that big of a deal. As far as the teeth are concerned, I don't know. I'm sure she'll have something put in. We won't even notice. But that's what happened to Charlotte Flair. Now let's talk about what happened to Big Cass. Because he wasn't even on the show. After attacking Daniel Bryan post-match at Backlash, and Corey Graves losing his mind, being told, obviously, by the powers that be, Vince McMahon screaming in his ear to really sell it, how horrible a person Cass is, and this is the lowest thing anybody's ever done, despite the fact that people do it on a regular basis almost every match. He's not on the show. And word is that Cass got in trouble for, of all things, going off script with the midget or little person, whatever you want to call him. Last week, apparently he was supposed to kick him in the head like he did, but he was not supposed to mount him and throw all them punches. Now, if you ask me, jumping on him and throwing all those punches sold that segment a hell of a lot better than just the kick. And I thought it was a great move that he did it, but the WWE does not like you to do something that you do not tell them you're going to do. And from my sources, they're telling me he was not supposed to do that. He just did it on his own, figuring this will be a good thing. And WWE didn't like it. So if he's in the doghouse already, not only does he tap out to Daniel Bryan, which some people are saying was not supposed to be the ending. But then he ends up not even showing up on the show, and we'll talk about that when we get to the main event of this show. That doesn't look good. Doesn't look good at all. And the third piece of news that we have to talk about is more fallout from the Saudi Arabia disaster, and that's what I'm going to call it from now on. It's not the greatest Royal Rumble ever. It's the stupidest wrestling decision ever. That's what I'm calling it from now on. So at the stupidest wrestling decision ever, the WWE, now people were saying the girls were getting paid. Some of the girls were saying we haven't seen any pay. Apparently to keep them appeased, the WWE was going to pay them full as if they were on the show, but nobody's seen any of it yet. But that's not the big issue. The big issue that is that a day or two ago, a man was arrested, imprisoned in Saudi Arabia for criticizing the fact that they were allowed to come to that country. That's all he did. All he did was say, I don't think it's a good idea. I don't like it. I'm not a wrestling fan. Boom, jail, prison. And you're going to allow this country to you what you, I just, you can't do this anymore. If Vince McMahon and company does not pull out of this deal, then they have lost their mind. The negative publicity that you're going to get from this disaster that you did only for money, nothing else. I don't want to hear one person say, oh, the Saudi fans deserve, the Saudi fans deserve. You don't give a damn what the Saudi fans deserve. If they didn't pony up $200 million, you would have never even thought about it twice. Man's in jail. He's in prison. Because he said, I didn't like it. I don't think it's a great idea for our country to start this wrestling stuff coming on over here from Western culture. Oh, well, you're going to prison, my friend. Let that sink in for a minute. And this is the country that they chose to say, what a beautiful, wonderful country this is, and how advanced, and oh, they're moving forward marvelously, and look how beautiful, and everyone's just been so wonderful here to us. We couldn't possibly have asked for anything better than this. Let's all dine with the prince and his family, and oh, this is just a wonderful place. Are you kidding me right now? I told you this was going to happen. I told you when it was announced. I said, this is a bad idea. From Jump Street, this is a bad idea. Bad enough, you're leaving the women home. And then it got to be, well, you got to leave Sami Zayn home too. And then it got to be, well, we didn't like what Daivari said, so he has to issue a public apology because he was receiving death threats. Death threats. By the way, this is the Daivari who went on goddamn social media and says, oh, I'm going to a concert tonight. What do you guys think I should chant if it doesn't go exactly the way I want it to go? Meaning he's taking a jab at wrestling fans for chanting bullshit if the match doesn't go exactly the way they want it to go. Well, where was your balls when the Saudi Arabian government or the Saudi Arabian people were issuing you death threats and you got on your hands and knees like a wuss and said, please forgive me, I was only playing a character. I'm terribly sorry if I offended you. So forgive me if I got the world's smallest violin for you saying, oh, American wrestling fans and, you know, are going to boo if they don't like every single thing. Grow up. How's that sound? How'd you like it if some guy's in the batter's box and they're chanting, you're a bum, you can't hit, you suck, you suck. All right, well, that's it. I'm not, that's it. I'm stepping out of the batter's box. I refuse to play. Grow up. But you were very, very quick to issue that apology, weren't you? When you thought your ass was on the line. Saudi Arabian thing from start to finish. Sabretooth has been a nightmare, and it's getting worse daily now.
Right, man. And also, I'm wondering, are they going to pay Sami Zayn extra also since he couldn't come also? I mean, he couldn't come neither. So are they gonna pay him extra also? He deserves it too. You know.
Yep.
You know. But yeah.
I don't know what
yeah.
they're gonna do. All I do know, Mike, is from Jump Street, this has just been a disaster, and they got a 10-year deal.
Yeah, it's been a disaster, but and everything that you said is true, and everything that you said I agree with, and I'll leave this subject at that. But as far as Charlotte goes. That okay, I can see they're gonna put some screws or some make a plate to put in her mouth or whatever for that. But that that ruptured implant is a lot more serious than you're letting on, because there was a particular diva that I saw this on Total Divas that had that same thing, and she was out for a good couple months because she had to get that done and, you know, get that done and go back for follow-ups and all this other stuff, you know. So Charlotte may be gone for more than they're letting on, you know.
Yeah, I don't know how serious it is. You know, I don't know whether it's just a very minor thing or it's more serious. What I'm led to believe, it's not too bad. And it shouldn't be terrible. But, yeah, I mean, it could be. It's one of those things that's 50-50, you know, you don't know. So I guess we're going to find out together. Okay, well, let's get on to SmackDown. Because this was a rather interesting show, to say the least. I don't even know where to begin here. Let me just say this. It felt very much. Now, that's not always a bad thing. I mean, a lot of these matches that you thought, well, this is kind of predictable. I think I know what's going to happen. And, you know, well, I guess that didn't happen. But at the same time, when it's just unpredictability for the sake of being unpredictable, it can sometimes be less than appealing. Now, we got The Miz and Jeff Hardy in the opening match. And as much as Jeff Hardy normally would be appealing to go on to a ladder match like Money in the Bank, you had to figure that if he was holding the belt, he's not going. You had to figure that. So from the very beginning, you kind of know the Miz is winning. You're just not sure how. And to be honest, I thought it was another great Miz match. And you got to give credit to Jeff Hardy too. I mean, you know, it takes two. I thought the ending was fantastic. I don't know if I've ever seen that before. And I thought it led credibility to the Miz's devious character that he would get a pin like that. Only the Miz would think about rolling that way, doing it that way. You know what I mean? The devious mindset of the character. So I thought they were off to a really good start with that one, Todd. I thought that they did a great job.
You're absolutely right there. Excuse me. You're absolutely right there about that match with The Miz and Jeff Hardy. Well, like you said, it was another great, good Miz match. And like you said, there's a lot of great moves of that match with The Miz and Jeff Hardy there.
And another great Miz match, which means, of course, that, I mean, The Miz is cranking on all cylinders right now, Sabretooth. But I love the finish. I thought the finish was really well thought out.
I did too, man. That was a hell of a match, man. Cause I mean, the simple thing, like, first of all, I just didn't agree with like champions taking place in these money in the bank. I mean, he has a belt already, so that kind of sort of like makes his belt like, you know, like his belt's not good enough after the Money
right.
in the Bank. But like the fact that when he hit that Swanton on The Miz, I'm like, oh my God, they're gonna let this guy win this damn match. He has a belt. But The Miz, I mean, I got swerved. I mean, cause I was pissed off. I thought that he was going to pin The Miz. I was pissed off. But The Miz pulled it out. that was the match of the night. I mean, because I got swerved, man. Because I was pissed off to think that he was going to beat The Miz and he has that belt on his waist. But, yeah, it was a great
match.
Yeah,
you know what the beauty of that is, Mike? It didn't hurt Jeff Hardy at all, that loss. It didn't hurt him at all. And it helped The Miz. After The Miz coming off a loss, it put him right back up there, elevated him right back up to where he was.
It really did. And look, the only problem I have with this match is where they have it on the card. Because we keep saying this about The Miz. His matches are great matches. And generally speaking, if you have a Miz match at the top of the card, that's probably going to be, at the beginning of the card, that's probably going to be the best match of the night. And it didn't disappoint. So, I mean, if you're gonna do that and you got it in your back of your mind that these matches are going to be that good, then you better be telling the other wrestlers, all bets are off. You can come and try to steal the show if you can from The Miz. You know, steal this show because this guy is cranking on all cylinders and his matches are all going to be great, you know?
Yeah, I mean, no doubt that was the main event, even though it was the very first match. So we get to Charlotte Flair versus Peyton Royce. And look, the Iconics, they do a great job with their promos. Really, really good job. And once again, did a great job where they're basically saying, look, I have a grandfather who suffers from depression, and his whole life he suffered from depression. He's never, ever, ever even hardly cracked a smile. And when he saw your face after you lost that match to Carmella, he burst out laughing for 5 minutes straight. They cut great promos. Here's the problem. You can't make these girls 50-50. If you keep making these girls 50-50, nobody cares. And not only are you making them 50-50, you're making them lose in humiliating ways. Like, I'm just tapping out. You're the better person. I give up. And there's only so many times you can tap these girls out before they say, okay, these girls are all talking, no walk. And so it really doesn't matter what they say because they never, ever, ever back it up. So I'd have rather seen a pinfall. I'd have rather seen some hokey finish than this, because I don't think this did anything to help Peyton Royce or the Iconic Sabretooth.
Right, and I agree. And also, it seems to me like they had heat when they made. I mean, when it was like the call basically for Charlotte losing her belt, and like it's now it's like they're becoming like Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. Like, I mean, they're losing that heat. It's like now they're the cool kids in class. They're making jokes about, you know what I'm saying? The jokes are fine, but they should have won that match. And like, I mean, they should have like won that match. You know, like cheating. You know, keep the heat on them.
Yeah.
I mean, they're your heels. I mean, keep that heel heat, but they're losing it.
Yeah, you know, that's an excellent comparison because it does remind me of that. They remind me of Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. They mouth off a lot, but they don't win much. Yeah, I mean, you can't take the heat away from them that quickly. That's the problem, is the WWE tends to say, you go out there and get heat, and then we're going to take it away because you're going to lose. Well, how's that building up for anything bigger? You know, I mean, the match was fair, but you know, just coming off of The Miz and Jeff Hardy, Todd, it looked a little weak.
You're absolutely right there. It did came a little weak in that match, tactically.
Yeah, I didn't. You know, again, it's the order of the matches sometimes that get me. So we go backstage where Sheamus is eating Lucky Charms. And I'm mortally offended. I'm terribly, terribly offended. I'm going to write letters to all of WWE's sponsors saying, as an Irishman, I think that was a jab at my nationality. I think you're poking fun at me. I think you're trying to say that we're all like little leprechauns. We're all... You know, it was just demeaning and horrible and terrible. And if you can't tell, I'm being sarcastic, because we don't care. Irish people do not care. He could have been dressed up, you know, with a shamrock head on, and we don't care because we're not that sensitive. Okay? And you know what? The WWE knows it. They never would have pulled that with, you know, anybody else. They never would have said, okay, we're going to, whatever nationality it is, they're going to be eating some kind of their, you know, food. They're not going to have a German guy with a giant Wiener Schnitzel. Although, to be fair, you know, look, the bottom line of the situation is this. As long as it's entertaining, I'm not getting offended by it. I had some people actually write to me and say, well, I know you're Irish. What'd you think of that, Marcus? Did you think that was a little bit of a knock on Irish heritage? No. I just think it's a gimmick. It's funny. Sheamus is eating Lucky Charms. It's funny. Lighten up. What I did think was weird is they sort of had that little bit of an argument where Cesaro said, I think I could do a better job against Xavier Woods than you did. And I said to myself, well, uh-oh, are we going to see the breakup here, or what the hell's going to happen? And my first thought is either Sheamus is A, going to make sure that Cesaro doesn't win, or B, Cesaro's not going to do any better. And then Sheamus is going to laugh at him and say, oh, yeah, you did a whole lot better, didn't you? But no, he won in a really good match. Do not forget how good Sheamus is, and do not forget how good Xavier Woods is. If Xavier Woods did not get himself locked into this New Day, and now you can say what you want about Kofi Kingston, you can say what you want about Big E, Xavier Woods is the driving force of the New Day. He's like their spokesman almost. He's the guy that ties it all together, and they know that. But Xavier Woods, unlike maybe Big E, and, well, you can't say that about Kofi because he's been champion a few times, you know, various champions. Xavier Woods on his own would be fine. He doesn't get the ring time some other people do, but he's really good. He's very good. And, of course, Cesaro, we know how good he is, and they just put on a great match. It was not, was it The Miz and Jeff Hardy? No. But it was very good. It was a very solid match. But I was a little confused because Sheamus looks like he's the happiest guy in the world that Cesaro won. And I'm saying to myself, wait a minute, didn't you guys sort of have a thing where you said, you're not going to do any better than me? And then he went out and did, and he won. And it was a little confusing, Mike, as to why that little rivalry thing was just like, oh, that was forgotten about.
And, you know, yeah. And especially the fact that we know that at some point they will break up, at some point in the future. They're going to break up, and Cesaro's going to go on to bigger and better things, and probably Sheamus is going to, because of his neck injury or whatever he has, is going to probably end up having to retire or something. But, yeah, this was another one of these opposite things. That you're right. And look, as far as Xavier Woods, I liked him. I even liked him back when he was Consequences Creed, you know, back, I believe, in TNA, you know?
Yep. Yeah, he's underrated. If you were to point to one wrestler in the WWE that you really say, look, he's underrated as far as what he contributes. I mean, you could say Curtis Hawkins is underrated. Of course he is. He doesn't do anything. You're making him a bum, you know? But if I'm talking about a guy who's in the forefront, still isn't really getting his due, that would be Xavier. Because when you think of the New Day, you almost always think of Kofi Kingston and Big E as the tag team, and Xavier as like the manager or the spokesman or whatever. But when Woods gets in that ring, I think he's the – I don't know if he's better than Kofi, because I like Kofi too. But, man, he's not worse than him. I'll tell you that, Sabretooth.
Yeah, he's definitely like the glue that holds. He's definitely like the glue that holds that team together. I mean, because he does. I mean, like he does stuff, you know, even outside the ring, like with his show on YouTube, you know, with the up, up, down, down video game show. You know, he's definitely like the you know, he's like the fan favorite of that group. Not that Kofi and Big E, you know, not that they're any less, you know, but it's just like Xavier is like I said, he's like the glue that holds that team together. Yeah, and also I was shocked too because I thought like something's going to happen after like drive a wedge between the bar. I mean, that's what I was thinking. Either like he was going to cost him the match or something, but no. But he ends up winning, and they leave the ring celebrating. And also with this whole situation, I wish that they would be more. I wish like there was like more like serious because they work best. New Day works best when they have like straight men, you know, like to play their antics against. And it's like the bar is kind of like playing like a little bit too close to them. It's like being silly just like them. They shouldn't be doing that.
Yes. No, you're absolutely right. A great point. The New Day is at their best when they're humiliating and guys who don't want to be humiliated, who want to take it very serious. Overall, though, a good match, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. That was a good match. That skit with Sheamus Ian, the Lucky Charms, it reminds me of Joel Gertner did the same thing back in ECW, too,
right.
In the Lucky Charms.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Look, I'll tell you something. This is going to be a pretty strong statement, but I think I can actually make it now and be 100% confident. I think the New Day might be the greatest tag team in WWE history. And I'll tell you why I say that. Are they the very best wrestlers as a tag team in WWE history? No, because I think the Usos are better. And I think there's a number of other tag teams that were better wrestling-wise. But I have never seen a tag team reinvent themselves so many times and stay fresh and stay hot and stay funny and stay interesting to the fans and keep right on selling the merchandise and keep right on being top tier for as long as a New Day. It's been like 4 years. And they are not slowing down. They just keep saying, okay, well, you know what? The trombone thing got old. Let's come out with ice cream. The ice cream thing got old. We're doing bootios. We're doing pancakes. We're doing whatever. They keep reinventing themselves just enough. So you say, I'm not tired of them. See, that's the thing. Usually after a while, you get tired of a tag team. You know, Anderson and Gallows tears in here and you're like, okay, they're great. And then you're like, I got tired of it. Oh, this tag team, they're growing. Yeah, I got tired of it. Yeah, you don't really get tired of the New Day. It's really odd. I don't think there's ever been a tag team in the history of the WWE with the kind of longevity and staying power at the top of the card like a New Day, Sabretooth.
Right, and it's like, and you're right, and it's like they're like a one-trick pony, but they're not. Like you said, it's like they can make anything, like you said, first it was like positively, then the ice cream, then the bootios, then unicorns, and now it's pancakes. It's like, I mean, like, what's next? I mean, it makes you, it's like they can, like, take anything and make it hot, you know what I'm saying? I mean, pancakes,
yeah.
For God's sake. Whoever thought that, pancakes. I mean, yeah.
Yeah,
so, yeah,
I don't know.
Mean, like,
listen, they are absolutely got to be the WWE's top moneymaker. And again, they're at the top of their card. This is the thing I'm saying. Usually tag teams, you know, cycle on and off. Anderson and Gallows hot for a while, bottom of the card. This team, that team, hot for a while, then they go to the bottom of the card. New Day hasn't been to the bottom of the card in 4 years. They're always right at the top because they're entertaining. And when they have a really good sense of when something's getting old, and they say, okay, time to switch it up. And I think at this point, the WWE is kind of letting them do their own thing because they're just a cash cow. So now the WWE say, I mean, if they came and said, look, we're gonna start coming out with an energy drink or a soda or something, they'd be like, whatever, do what you want to do. Because I think the WWE at this point, Mike, has supreme confidence in them to get over regardless of what they do.
Yeah, I mean, at one point we thought, okay, you know, when they came out with those ice cream bars, we said, I'm looking at that and I'm saying, the WWE ice cream bars are coming back with ice cream bars and stuff like that. And now it didn't happen that way, but I mean, that's the thing, you know. I once said this about the trombone. It's not a three-man tag team. It's basically a four-man tag team. It made the trombone a part of that tag team.
It really did. I tell you, when we are all rocking on a porch somewhere, still watching wrestling at the retirement village, we're all going to say, yeah, there's not going to be another New Day. Because the way wrestling is now, it's very hard to stay relevant for more than like a few months or a year. Would be like, wow, you stayed relevant for a whole year. The New Day's done it for 4 years. And there is absolutely no sign that they're slowing down. None. Zero. So that's why I say, I think you're going to look back and say were they the greatest wrestlers in tag team history? No, obviously not. But were they the greatest overall as far as their draw power and how relevant they stayed for such a long period of time? Yeah, I think they're going to be. I really do. I don't see anybody else that came close. I really don't. Anyway. Enough about how great the New Day are. should be self-evident. Mandy Rose, which is that Corey Graves? I mean, if Corey Graves is married, I don't think he's married to Mandy Rose. And his wife must be upset, because anytime she comes out, he's just like, oh, she's the greatest, finest girl that ever walked the face of the earth. And I know it's a gimmick, but wow, going overboard a little bit. And poor Becky Lynch. I don't know whose gym bag she shit in or who she's not sleeping with. But holy mackerel. This is a girl who was champion. She can't beat anybody. And maybe it's a gimmick. Maybe there's going to be this, you know, I'm frustrated and I'm going to turn on Charlotte, or I don't know what the hell the gimmick's going to be, if there is. But wow, in the meantime, are you ever running her downhill? Because to be quite honest with you, Mandy Rose looks like she's practicing her match when she wrestles. She doesn't look like she's actually wrestling it. She looks like she's practicing for when she's going to really wrestle it, walking through it, in other words. And she takes the pinfall. And I was just like, wow, kidding me? I understand that you're trying to boost that team, but you picked the least ready worker to go over a girl as a champion, former champion. And I don't think it helped Mandy Rose, and I'll tell you why I don't think it helped, because the fans were just like, well, that's ridiculous. She looked terrible. So I think it hurt Becky Lynch more than Mandy Rose. If Mandy Rose came out there and tore it up and you were like, I didn't know she was that good, it would have helped Mandy Rose. But when Mandy Rose comes out and you're like, yeah, she's kind of sucking the joint up, and oh, what do you know, they let her win, that doesn't help. It only helps if, like Ruby Riott. When Ruby Riott had that loss against Charlotte Flair, but she really tore it up, we were like, whoa. I mean, we knew Ruby Riott was good. I didn't know she was quite that good. That helped Ruby Riott, even though it was a loss. But, I mean, you could have just some chick stumble in there who don't know a, you know, wrist lock from a wrist watch, and if she beats Becky Lynch, it's not going to help her just because she beat her. It helps if you look good doing it. I don't think Mandy Rose looked good doing it. So it made Becky Lynch look even worse to lose to her, and I don't think it helped Mandy Rose all that much, Sabretooth. What do you think?
It really didn't, and I rather would have, like, Sonya Deville had to win that match, because at least, like, you could say, like, you know, like, her MMA experience, you know, overcame her, you know, that would have been better. And also, Paige broke one of your rules, man. She forbid Sonya Deville to accompany her down there, but she let the Iconics come down there together, though. And one thing that y'all always say is that, like, when they turn heel, don't give them, like, a reason, you know what I'm saying? She gave them a justifiable reason, you know what I'm saying? I mean, like, they can point out that you let the Iconics come down there, but you didn't let me come down there with her. So they broke, you know, and I'm like, it didn't make sense, though. I mean, she let them come down together, the Iconics, but she didn't let Absolution come down together. So when they have that great.
No, you're right. You're right, and it's ridiculous. The WWE does it all the time. They'll contradict themselves in the same show. And it's, you know, it's frustrating. It's frustrating, but at this stage of the game, I guess you got to be happy that the girls even get two matches on a 2-hour card, because, you know, I don't know. Look, the women's division's a mess. When have we seen Asuka lately, you know? The women's division's a mess. Charlotte Flair's dropping matches, and according to backstage reports, they're losing a little bit of confidence in her ability to get over. So what's that going to mean with this big thing with Ronda Rousey? Who knows? They're losing focus in the women's division. They really are. They're starting to lose focus. They got to regroup it. If I were the WWE, and I don't know that they're not doing this, but I don't think they are. If I were the WWE, I would hire separate writers for the women's division. That's all you do, is the women's division. Don't worry about the men. We got the men covered someplace else. Your job is get the women together, get this whole thing over. We know it's a hard job because you're only going to have a match or maybe two on a card, but that's your job. And maybe it'll come out better, because right now it's just a mishmash. It's this girl won this week, but she lost last week. This girl lost this week, but she won last week. And it's just a mishmash of nobody's better than anybody, and it doesn't matter. So, yeah, they got to fix that. What did you think of the Mandy Rose thing, Mike? I thought it was weird that they let her win, especially in that fashion.
Yeah, let's compare to what happened a few months back when we saw it. Almost the same match, but I think it was Becky Lynch and Sarah Logan. Sarah Logan, you know, comes in there and, yeah, I believe she lost that match or something, or Becky might have lost that match or whatever, but, yeah, she looked way better, and we talked about what kind of deal that is with Sarah Logan, that the different feel she has to it, but it's a different type of wrestler. It's a different type of thing that she did. Whereas she's not. Some of these girls just aren't ready. You know, I don't think what's her name is ready, and I don't think it definitely hurts that Paige is not with them anymore, and they're trying to make Paige a face when really what they should be doing is trying to make her a heel. But you know, I get what they're trying to do with that. But that's the thing, and I do agree with you. They need to have different writers. The only way somebody who writes for the men should be writing for the women is if you have something like what they're doing with Naomi right now. But they're kind of incorporating her in with the Usos and the Brothers.
I mean,
you know?
But that's just strictly for the Usos. Yeah, so that would be under the writing for the regular division. But I don't even think, you see, the thing with Paige is frustrating because I understand they can't make her really a heel, because then she'd really only be a heel as far as like the women's division, and then it would be weird. But at the same time, making her a face and just saying, oh, well, look, I got my job, and now I'm a corporate stooge, and you can, you know, you're going to toe the line here, and then not have the Iconics do the same thing, like Sabretooth said, it is ridiculous. There's no consistency. Someone should have looked through that show and said, wait a minute, Paige says she's not having any of this. How do we just let those Iconics do the same thing? Wouldn't that make Paige look stupid? So we can't do that. They don't have that. It's called continuity. In a movie, you know, if somebody gets their window shot out in a car chase, you can't have the next scene the windows back in. It's somebody's job to say, wait a minute, their window was blown out. We got to make sure that the next scene, that window is seen blown out. Well, that's the same thing with wrestling. Somebody has to look through it and say, wait a minute, if she's not allowing people to come down to ringside, she can't allow the Iconics to do it either. And if someone says, well, that would be bad because we want the Iconics to play off each other, then you got to give Paige a reason to let them, or a reason not to let the other team. So if her team were back there saying, I'll do this and you do that, and she overhears it and says, oh, what did I just hear? That sounds like a plan for interference. And you know what that means? Now I have to ban you from ringside. I don't want to do it, but I got to, because I just heard you say you were interfering. Then it makes sense, because you didn't hear the Iconics do it. Some kind of continuity. Anyway, let's get to the barn burner. Well, we should talk a little bit about Shinsuke Nakamura, who probably cut the best promo he has cut since he came here. The thing about Nakamura is this. He understands entertainment. He understands that while he may not cut a scathing promo, he can at least grasp that concept of, I have to be entertaining, so my facial expressions, my mannerisms, got to be entertaining. And when he is asked, is things between you and AJ Styles finished, and he says no, followed by speak English. And then the girl says, well, that's ridiculous, because I've heard you speak English. You've spoken English since you got here. So how can you sit here and say, I you know, you don't speak English? And he says, I forgot it. You know, that's basically being the typical, I will pretend I don't speak English when it suits my needs, which is a heelish thing to do. And it hits a target with fans. Believe me, it does. I thought it was a great promo of his. I think he's eventually going to get that. I do think he's getting the belt. I think he's eventually going to get it. I don't think it's going to be a long period of time, but I think he's getting it. And one of the reasons I think he's getting it is because, as much as we love AJ Styles, And he's not on every episode wrestling. I get it. But this was one of the worst rated SmackDown episodes of all time. They dropped 6 points. And I think a lot of it, they're going to, you know, point their fingers at the champions and say, well, I don't know. You know, AJ's not holding the show together. As if Brock Lesnar is. You know, over in the other division, Brock Lesnar, guess when you're going to see him next? SummerSlam. You know how long ago SummerSlam is from now? But over on SmackDown, they're going to say, well, it must be AJ. Well, we realize the whole entire audience chants AJ Styles every time he comes out. We realize he puts on the best matches. We realize that the audience is in the palm of his hand. But no, it must be his fault. If ratings are down, it must be his fault. So I got a feeling you might see a quick switch. Anyway, we get to Rusev versus Daniel Bryan. And I wrote on the Facebook page, and I mean it, the WWE has this weird way of, even when they give the fans what they want, pushing Rusev, they make sure they do it in a way that you don't want. Denying Daniel Bryan getting into the Money in the Bank ladder match. So I know a lot of Rusev fans who said, oh, I was so, you know, I had six mixed emotions because when he won, I'm like, I'm glad he won, but I wanted to see Daniel Bryan in there. And the WWE has an annoying way of doing that. They're like, oh, you want to push Rusev, huh? Fine. Oh, you want to see Daniel Bryan in the Money in the Bank ladder match, do you? I got an idea. We'll let Rusev beat him. And then when you say, well, wait a minute, that's not what we wanted, you'll say, well, make up your mind. Did you want Rusev pushed or you didn't? They know what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing. So whenever they listen to the fans, they listen to them in a way that is not the way the fans want them to listen to them, so they can later say the fans don't know what they're talking about. And they're fickle. You could have had anybody go up against Daniel Bryan. Cass would have been the obvious choice. And Rusev could have got in by beating someone else, but no. Now, having said that, I did not for 1 minute think Daniel Bryan was getting into Money in the Bank ladder match, and I'll tell you why. Too dangerous. Those matches often end up with somebody hurt. Sheamus has been hurt 2 or 3 times. Oh, hell, you could go down a list of people that's hurt in these ladder matches. There's too much going on, too many people in the ring, too much to look out for, and Daniel Bryan is still, you know, under that fragile nature where he don't need a ladder to the head and he doesn't need to land on his cranium falling off a ladder and things like that. So I think they needed to find a way to not get Daniel Bryan in that match. Having said that, this is my proof that Cass is in the doghouse, because why the hell would you not have Cass come out there and cost Daniel Bryan that match? I mean, fine, Rusev pins him clean, and you're like, whoa, Rusev gets the biggest victory of his life. That's all well and good, and I'm happy for Rusev, and I'm sure Rusev fans are happy for Rusev, but what the hell good did that do? Daniel Bryan in his feud with Cass. If there even is one anymore. It didn't do him any good. So I'm a little confused about that, Sabretooth.
Yeah, that was sure that Big Cass at some point was going to come out, because he hadn't been on the show the whole night. So I was sure that he was going to have like a hand in that match. And when he didn't, you know, I'm like, okay, so like you said, I mean, are they still feuding or what? I mean, so what, you know, and it's like, so what's next with Daniel Bryan now? I mean, how's he, you know? And I'm like, and also, if he's like, if they're going to treat him like he's still fragile, then, like, he, truthfully, man, he should have never even came back then if they're going to do him like that, man. Because like, I wanted to see him in the ladder match. You know, I mean, I'm glad Rusev went, but if that's like the reason that he's not in it, then why bring him back for then? If he can't, like, do what everybody else is doing, why bring him back?
You know, there's a point to that. I mean, I guess they're going to say, look, you know, half of Daniel Bryan is better than none. We're erring on the side of caution. Maybe in 3 months when we see he's still injury-free and everything's good, then we'll take a chance. But right now he hasn't wrestled that much, and putting him in a match with that many people and that chaotic thing when he hasn't been in the ring might not be in his best interest. I kind of get it. But at the same time, I get where you're coming from. I mean, if you want Daniel Bryan, you want Daniel Bryan. You have to just tell people, you know, we want a good match, but you got to, you can't be reckless, and you got to understand we got some people in here that have some injuries, and you have to be a little cautious. Could be, should be able to do it. You're a professional. Everybody in that match is professional. But they decided not to. And again, if you want to decide not to, and you know the fans want Daniel Bryan in that match very, very badly, then you have to be, have Cass be the one who robs the fans of that. You have to have Daniel Bryan setting up for his finisher. And boom, out comes Cass. To have Aiden English somehow, you know, cost Rusev what looks like is going to be the match before Cass attacks, so that Lana could legitimately say, I told you he was holding you back. If that didn't appear like, they didn't do anything to further that. As a matter of fact, Aiden English came out. He was fine. Everything was fine. It's just weird. It was like the WWE forgot that they had some storylines going. They forgot, oh, well, that's right. Cass was feuding with him, wasn't he? Damn, we should have had him come out and interfere. Oh, wait a minute. Weren't we trying to push that Aiden English is holding Rusev back? He didn't do much to hold him back, did he? Oh, well. I mean, that's kind of what it feels like sometimes, Mike.
It really does. And I mean, not only you mentioned two branches, but what if he comes out, takes out Aiden English, and then costs Daniel Bryan? Then you see Rusev go, you know, well, I didn't want your help, I didn't need your help. You know, why'd you do this? And then why'd you take my man out as well? I mean, then you have a possible feud between Rusev and Big Cass.
Yeah, or any, right, any of it. Any of that would have been better than what we got. At the end of the day, what we got was, wow, Rusev is actually pinned Daniel Bryan clean. Well, but you haven't been booking Rusev to be that great, you know what I mean? Like, oh, wow, he pinned Daniel Bryan, you know. So it almost makes Daniel Bryan look like, well, my comeback, you know, isn't so great. I don't exactly know how to word it. As Daniel Bryan is sitting there on the ring apron, dejected, I'm saying to myself, I wonder if this is a gimmick. And I wonder if Cass was supposed to win that match at Backlash, but he got punished. So that Daniel Bryan's comeback seems like a disaster. You know, oh, I don't have it yet. I don't have it yet. You know, and then we get that moment where Daniel Bryan says, I've been being too cautious. I've been being too careful. I've been worried. I've been this, that. Maybe even, you know, Bree comes back and tells him, you're not the same Daniel Bryan. You've got to cut it loose. You got to do what you do. You can't be afraid to do what you do. And then all of a sudden, boom, we get that Daniel Bryan again. I thought there's going to be some kind of a story involving Daniel Bryan maybe not being as successful as he thought he was going to be when he comes back. But that would have been contingent upon he didn't beat Cass and he didn't beat Rusev. Because then you could say, wow, you know, what's wrong with Daniel Bryan? And the storyline is there a psychological block? You know, is Daniel Bryan psychologically not giving his all? You know, that's what I thought that we might get, Sabretooth. But I mean, you can't do that when you tap out Cass.
Right. And makes me wish that Cass had won Sunday night, because then, you know, if he lost to Cass, then like he lost to Rusev clean, that would like fill up the great storyline after, like, guess who swoops in to dress him down? The Miz. That would have been the perfect opportunity for the Miz to come in and say, I knew you couldn't do it. I was right when I said it, and I'm right. You know what I'm saying? That would have been the perfect setup if they wanted to go that route. But now, like you said, though, it's like, why are they going with it? Because he beat Cass, but then he lost to Rusev. So, and he, like you said, he's sitting in the ring dejected. So, I mean, but still, though, you don't know where they're going with it, because he can't really say that my comeback is a disaster because I beat Cass, but I just lost to Rusev. So it makes you wonder, like, where the hell are they going with it?
You're right, Sabretooth. What would have happened if he lost to Cass, even if Cass had to cheat or something? You know, it didn't matter. He loses. And then he loses to Rusev after saying, I'm going to do this. And then, right, you got The Miz crowing and saying, Daniel Bryan's big comeback. Oh, boy, you've been lighting it up. Let's see. First, you destroyed Big Cass. Oh, no, wait a minute. Cass won. And then you got yourself in the money in the – oh, no, wait a minute. You didn't get in the Money in the Bank ladder match either. Gee, you've been a bit of a disaster, haven't you? You know, that would be a great storyline to just slow build and boil until you got the Miz versus Daniel Bryan, Sabretooth.
Right. Like you said, though, I mean, he beat Cass, though, but now he lost to Rusev, so it leaves it, like, up in the air. I mean, because if they did choose to go, like, that route with the Miz, it wouldn't make sense because he beat Cass. I mean, like, that
right.
One victory over Cass, it was like a chink in that whole scenario.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, if it was done to punish Cass, it actually ends up hurting them worse, which, remember, I have said so many times, the WWE tends to punish people and hurt themselves. Punish them by taking some money away from them or something, but don't punish them by taking the angle away, because then you're hurting the person he's working with, you're hurting your fans, and you're hurting yourself. What a great story that could have been. Daniel Bryan's comeback, not what it should be. The announcer's saying there's just not – something's wrong. He was good in WrestleMania, but that was a tag team. And Daniel Bryan by himself, something's wrong. It's just not there. And The Miz exploiting every second of that and loving every second of it. You know, Daniel Bryan's psychological block and, you know, his anxiety about why am I not doing well. And, man, would that have led to some great, great segments between him and The Miz, Mike.
For the championship. Yeah. And look, to make it even better, you have The Miz in that ladder match going for that championship as Daniel Bryan is not doing well, and Miz can come back and say, hey, my career is going gangbusters, and where are you, Daniel Bryan?
Right. There's so much you could have done with it. So much you could do with it. So if that does turn out to be the case, and they just let him beat Cass because Cass effed up and broke script on SmackDown, that was dumb. It's a dumb move. Anyway, I mean, look, SmackDown had a couple of good matches. I really thought The Miz and Jeff Hardy. By the way, sometimes people say you're very hard on wrestlers that you don't care for. Well, no, not really. I'm not a big Jeff Hardy fan and never have been. But I'll tell you this. Jeff Hardy, since coming to the WWE, has proven he's ready to go. He's cranking on all cylinders. He's not mailing it in. He's not resting on his, I'm famous and I'm a name. He's wrestling the same way he always wrestled. He's picked his game up from Impact. And he's doing great. So, no, I don't feel I'm that way at all. I think Jeff Hardy's a great choices champion right now. And he put on a very good match with The Miz. Cesaro and Xavier Woods, look, that's a no-brainer. That's always going to be a good match. It's just always going to be a good match. And it was again. The women, well, that's where the problem was this week. Mandy Rose, not good in her victory with Becky Lynch. And I just don't know where you're going with the Charlotte and Iconics things, because they just look like a bunch of wusses now that just keep tapping out. I mean, I think they've tapped out 2-3 times since they got here. They're making a career out of tapping out. And you can't have that if these are going to be your mean girls. You know what I mean? That's what they remind me of, the two girls who come out and mock everybody. And the ultimate goal of that is to say, make the fans wait for the payoff where they got to eat their words. Well, they're eating their words every week. Literally. So I don't know. I don't know how they're going to be relevant in the next coming whatever. I don't know. Kind of odd. So all in all, look, I think it was an average show. At best. You didn't really have, you know, Nakamura and AJ Styles in ring. I'm sure they probably had a dark match of some kind with them, but there's a lot of people you didn't have. They went with the two women's matches in the 2-hour show and a very long Miz and Jeff Hardy match, which is fine. So I think I'm going to give it right in the middle. I'm going to give it a flat out C, I think. Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm gonna give it a flat out C as well. I mean, and look, and that's including the fact that we are praising to the hill Xavier Woods. That guy, I mean, he goes, for me, I mean, remember what was a couple weeks back when he got power slammed or power bombed or whatever it was on the stairs, and you said basically, wow, that was an incredible spot, and that was that. I mean, he did a great job with that, you know.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. No question about it. Xavier Woods looked dead in that spot. You know, when there are certain wrestlers who really rise to the occasion. Woods is one of them. Has been for a long time. And I think it's getting recognized now more than ever. What do you give this, Sabretooth?
Yeah, I want to give it a straight C like you did, man. You know, two good matches. But, you know, like you said, man, I mean, they need to get that women's division together, man. Like I said, the whole inconsistency thing with Paige not letting Sonya Deville go down there with Mandy Rose, and let the Iconics do it, you know, it's like lazy writing. And also, some stuff I like, though, I like that promo of the Bludgeon Brothers, though, with the all twisted toys and all that stuff, what they did. That was a nice little promo.
You know, I should mention that because I partially agree and partially disagree. I loved the camera scanning the twisted, mangled toys. I thought that was really cool. But when they began to talk, Sabretooth, and said, well, I have my own toys, and I was like, ooh, that's a little corny. I wish they had just showed them looming over them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, maybe just like, or maybe even like playing with the toys, and like they're like tearing them apart, and they're like,
right.
You know, yeah.
Yep, that would have been a lot better, because then the other way made it look a little hokey. I think the less they speak, the better they are. Even though Luke Harper especially is good on the mic, this particular gimmick, they should be kind of quiet and let their action speak for them. Todd, what do you give it?
I got to go with the rest of you, a flat-out, straight-out C.
So there we go. I mean, SmackDown this week was a pretty much a straight C. It wasn't horrible. It didn't put a lot of branches on the trees. All it really did was set up a couple of people for Money in the Bank. You know, to be honest with you, I'm looking at the Money in the Bank participants so far, and I do think that we have a very good chance of seeing Rusev win this. I don't know who's in it, the rest of them that's in it, so I'll reserve my judgment. But from what I see so far, I'm thinking we might see Rusev with Money in the Bank, and that could lead to some interesting things, to say the least. Anyway, we will hopefully have a little bit more information on how long Charlotte's going to be out of action on our Sunday show, and maybe we'll have a little bit more about the WWE's reaction to a man put in jail in Saudi Arabia for saying they shouldn't have been allowed to come there in the first place. And we'll maybe have a little bit more about if Big Cass manages to get himself out of the doghouse. Thanks for listening. We'll see you Sunday.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestling Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.